So I find that I've been meditating. I started very, very recently.
Could you speak a bit louder?
Yeah. I've started a practice like very, very recently, 3-4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that most of the people I interact with are from work. If I'm in an environment where I'm with people who happen to be aware of their thoughts and, you know, don't mind changes that much, I find that I can do that more easily. If I'm with someone who's very grasping or is angry all the time, then that affects me like immensely.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning, should we kind of avoid being with like more intense and emotionally driven, or should I like see it as an opportunity to practice? Okay.
Yes, very much so. Opportunity to practice. And I completely understand what you say. And I think most people here in the group will have had or have very similar experiences. It is so much more easy to be around people who really understand where you are, who have the same values, who have the same aspirations as you. Especially, and this is why, for example, spiritual friendship is so important, because with that we do support each other on the path very directly. Now, by practicing together as we do now, but also, like, you might notice you can share your thoughts, your questions much easier with people who understand where you're coming from. With the others, like, what is important if you find yourself in a situation as you just described, where you meet somebody who is maybe quite opinionated about something, or is very much convinced to know, or I'm right, or I'm wrong, probably usually right. You know, then the opportunity is to see how it affects you. What comes up when you are when you find yourself in a situation? We usually don't choose to be in that situation, but we find ourselves in a situation where that happens. And see if you can, don't get me wrong, I mean stepping slightly out, but not dissociating. Yeah, very important. Like we want to try not to get entangled by that. And one of my, I'm really lucky I had very good teachers, and one of my teachers, Ajahn Sucitto, has been making a point, like over the last few years, again and again, saying, and not just to myself, but to people who were coming up with that question, the question was, how can I come from a reaction into response? Mm. Yeah? What you were pointing at is like, I find myself getting into reacting towards those situations or people in those situations. And what we want to come to is, how can we find a point where we actually respond to what we are meeting? In order to respond, we have to have that inner space for the response actually to arise in. If we react, it's like this, yeah? Response is just, wait a minute, what's going on here? What's going on in my mind right now? Can I just listen to the person, even so it might be painful, it might be really difficult? Can I just listen and say, okay, maybe the only thing I can say is, sorry, right now I can't quite relate to this. Yeah? I hear what you're saying, but I can't quite relate to that. Can we come back to that at a different time? That's one way. Or just to listen and not to say anything. And when the person is asking you, why don't you answer, or why don't you relate to this, then again saying, well, right now I can't quite. I fear I would maybe regret. And I don't really feel it's skillful to go there right now. And we don't always can do that. And we can't do that always in work situations, or like say you are in a management meeting and decisions need to be made, and you say, oh, let's come back tomorrow. People will just say, oh, thank you very much. So, of course, we have to be reasonable. But sometimes even just when you sit in a situation like that, maybe just take a deep breath, count until 10, and then respond. You know, a lot of things, just like with reactions, it needs just a little bit of time. And sometimes just 5 seconds, 10 seconds can make the big difference. And I'm talking from my own experience. Yeah. So, and I'm sure many others here have had similar situations. So it's not because you're in the beginning of your practice. That's what the practice is about. Yeah. Very good. Any other questions? Awesome.
I must put this in this way. The last 12 months, the highlight of my life has been dealing with an illness which is referred to as life-threatening.
Yeah.
I must say that it wasn't difficult. It wasn't difficult. In fact, when it came to when I was offered the treatment, I didn't want to go to the treatment. I thought, well, let nature take its course. Mm-hmm. Two very good friends of mine persuaded me to go into it. It's cleared now, it's okay. But here comes the big joke now. I need to get rid of some books out of my place. Uh-huh. There are hundreds of books, okay? And my place is not very big. Uh-huh. I'm finding out, I should have found out a long time ago, that I'm attached to them. Now, it's illogical, because I won't live long enough to read those books.
Yeah.
on the positive side, I could give it to Oxfam. Mm. You know, that would be a nice gesture. It would make me feel good, and it would other people would be enjoying something which just lying there. Yeah. And yet I find this so tremendously difficult. So I'm saying this aloud, so I get all these witnesses.
Good. Good.
And I don't know how you would respond to that, but you were talking about attachment. It's absurd. It's absurd. It is absurd, because there are books. And yet the thing where my life was supposed to be threatened, it wasn't difficult. That was
actually, the point you're making is a really good one.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm sure there are many here who have a similar experience, when it's really about life and death, often we are quite good at really taking it in and relating honestly and fully to it. Yeah, it's so important. I can't just mess this up. Yeah, it's like this is something that needs my full, not just concentration, my full presence. And you have done that, and it's lovely. And thank you for sharing that. It's great. And then, the dishwashing comes in, you know? It's like the things that are not so important. Can I actually be so fully present with the things that are not so important? You know? If it would be about death, life and death, you would just give it all away, probably. I would say, well, I can live without this. And because it is not, suddenly all the niggers, all the aspects that we haven't yet really faced up to come in. It's like I had on my tongue the question, okay, which books are difficult to give away? You know, and you don't have to answer that. It's more like a fun question, you know. But it's really about, and it touches into the aspect of generosity, you know, like if I take that a little bit deeper. It's like the Buddha speaks about generosity. It's like where we don't take important anymore if it could be useful for us or not. This is where generosity really starts. You know, the other things, like to give away what I don't really want anymore, is, well, everybody can do that. It's actually quite nice. If I have too many things in my flat, then yeah, I'm generous. I'm giving it away, yeah, to Oxfam or wherever. But what about the things that my heart is hanging on to? Then the next step is not just giving it away, but what is it that it is hanging on to? Yeah, what is it? And you can say, oh yeah, that theme is really important in my life and I want to understand that. Maybe there are different ways of how you could understand it. Or just to say, okay, this is important, I put that aside. It's kind of, it's about understanding and developing a clarity in connection with honesty. Honesty is the big word here. Yeah? We so often think we are honest with ourselves and with others. But how often are we really? How often do we fool ourselves? Because we just don't really want to go there. You know, and if we don't have any other option, yes, we go there, as you described before. Yeah? Like if it is life and death, there is no other option. Okay, just let's go there. It's happening. If it is something where we have a way to wriggle away, most of us wriggle away, you know? So
it's a security blanket.
I think so, yes. Yeah.
Like little children have this holding.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting, like for becoming a nun, I had to relinquish everything I had before ordaining. And I mean, I can so well relate to books. How many boxes of books do I have now? You know, it's just like, yeah. And do I need them? No, not really. But it's one of the few things I can own. It's just like, this is how we are relating to life. And I can see for myself, there is attachment and something to work with to let go. And yet, security is one, or the longing for safety, that's in a way the opposite of anicca, yeah, of impermanence. One of the things why we find it so hard to let go, to say yes to the flow, because we are afraid to step into the unknown. We are afraid to step into the place where there might be not the safety that we are longing for. It helps to know it's never there. You know, we all live with the illusion of safety, and we are using in insurances, we have insurances about our lives. We have other kind of, we have integrated in our lives safety nets that give us the feeling of security, like a really good work, like good paid, that's a good security, isn't it? Great, as long as it lasts. You know, it's just like we live with those. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you shouldn't. It's just so normal. It's just so much part of our lives. Yeah? And I have been there myself, and I know how it feels. But I also know how it feels not being quite there. And somehow, as more safety guards and safety nets you have, as more you are limited by it. That is the other side of it. Yes, safety nets are good and important, but if our life has ever so often, isn't that lovely? Let's talk the bird. If our life is constituted by safety nets, how much freedom, how much space and openness is there actually for the mystery of life to come in, for the unexpected to come in, for the beauty of the unknown. And it's up to us to make the decisions, but it's not really the decisions. It's like we have to understand that safety in or security in the sense that we grow up with here in this society is non-existent. It only exists in our minds. It's not reality. And it's very, it's painful to watch that. It's painful to move closer into that. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a fact. That's what is happening. And whether we are ready to see that or to really understand that or not. And we all, I'm sure, have experienced these unexpected changes that suddenly confront us with a completely different reality. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
So in Buddhist teachings, we hear a lot about change and acceptance of change, and you describe examples of some external events, external changes that one has to come to terms with. I personally don't often hear about is the judgment that needs to be made for each of us, whether to accept something or actually not to accept it and try and make a change, because there are circumstances when actually you have to initiate change rather than not accept things as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think differentiating between the times when you have to accept and times when
that is a good point, because we do experience situations where we fear. And I'm not denying that at all, where we feel like we have to make a point, you know, where we feel like, no, I can't accept this happening in my life right now, you know. And I'm not saying, the thing is, life is not rigid, you know, and what I'm saying here is, I'm pointing so strongly at the acceptance aspect, because this is what we most have difficulties with. Yeah? And for some of us, we have maybe even more difficulties to say no, yeah, to something that we don't agree with. That is also another aspect. But you see, like, with impermanence, it is like what I'm pointing out, of what I have been pointing at, it is the flow of life. And we can make points, and then the flow of life changes, but the flow of life is still going on. Yeah? We can't stop life. It's just happening. We can't stop how the processes to unfold. Like, we can't stop our body growing old. You know, we can't stop we can't decide, okay, I'm going to live forever, or I'm going to live until 100, 120, or until 80. You know, if, like, of course, we can kill ourselves. I'm not recommending this, don't get me wrong. It's the last thing I want to do. But if we think we are in control of our lives, we are under a delusion, because we are not. Like, even if we come to the point that something in our lives happened that we don't agree with, then usually we haven't created, or not consciously created, that what we don't agree with. Yeah? It comes, it moves into our lives, and we have to relate to it. And the first step to do is to say, oh, accept, this is what is happening right now. Then the next step is, how do I relate to that? Yeah? Do you feel that answers your question? I see a question.
I think that there are things like aging, for instance, or a loss of someone, which there is no point in existing, that there's absolutely a place for acceptance. But there are other circumstances in life where things happen, but it doesn't mean that you have to accept, as it were, the status quo. There are things you can do to
but I'm not disagreeing with that. I think what I'm pointing at is that life happens, and we are having choices of how we relate to that. Yeah? And if I relate, I'm not always relating with acceptance, you know. There are definitely points in my life where I struggle, or where I feel acceptance wouldn't be the right response. You know, if I'm, like, say, if I'm meeting violence, I'm not necessarily accepting that, you know. So, yeah, I hope. Yeah, it's all, I don't want to go too much further there, but I see what you're pointing at, and it is an important aspect. And it's not black and white. You know, we really have to consider and reflect, and to see, like, what is the appropriate response to this situation. Yeah, good question. Anything else?
Do you think it's possible to misuse the principle of impermanence? So I was thinking, in particular, say you're having situation has occurred and you're having certain thoughts or feelings about it, and maybe there's something there that you really need to look at, something underlying, but instead you sort of tell yourself, oh, you know, everything that arises passes away. I'm not going to take it seriously.
Also this will pass.
So it becomes a bit of a safety net in itself. Could you say something about that?
I mean, I think what you are pointing at is to some of us who have been more into the teaching already. I mean, this comes from having heard some teachings, otherwise you couldn't say what you are saying. Yes, it's a kind of wrong take on the teaching. One thing is to say, I'm experiencing this right now, but I'll just wait a bit and it will pass. That's not really inquiry, isn't it? That's not really learning from the experience. It's not really connecting with the experience. It's just waiting out the bumpy bits and get back to the smooth way. No, that would be unskillful. That wouldn't be really understanding the teaching. The other aspect of what you're pointing out is to say, oh, I'm experiencing the nice bits as much as I can, and I'm not attaching to it. That's the other bit, you know. As you said, let's enjoy desire as long as it lasts. And again, that also would be a wrong, like, you take the rope from the wrong end, or you kind of get, in a way, you are kind of getting tricked by your patterns, by your mental patterns, by your, by the patterns that have developed during your life. And you try to turn it so that you are actually okay with it. It doesn't really help to grow. And yes, and we all sometimes do that. Yeah.
And sometimes it can be difficult to know when you're doing it. Sometimes.
Don't quite agree with it. I think we do know. And so there's something inside us that now is saying, maybe you're taking the easy road right now. You are trying to, you know. And it does come back at us, you know. What I'm not seeing today, I have to face tomorrow, and it comes back. That's how karma works. Yeah. Okay. Does that answer? Okay. Anything else? Yeah,
but I've learned over the last years that it's not only about accepting or responding. What I'm asking myself is that there's a situation I might like or not like. What can I learn from that?
Yeah, good point.
And because that's a more general answer, general question.
Yeah.
And because sometimes that scale doesn't quite work. Yeah. For me, it was always work life was important. Then 2 years ago, I wasn't promoted, but I was promised a promotion. And then I asked myself, maybe your focus is actually wrong. Yeah. Maybe you're spending too much energy on work. Yeah? And then as a response, I started doing sports, meditating, and so on. Yeah. So actually, really, it was very positive in the end. Yeah?
It was enriching.
First it was a shock, of course. Yeah. But then you ask yourself the question, so what can you learn? Yeah? And sometimes it's not about responding or accepting. Yeah? It's a more general question. Yeah?
So
ask yourself, maybe you need to reflect again on your values. And
very
your
good
views.
Point.
And that's what I learned, and I'm quite happy about that.
Yes, very good point. Thank you for bringing that in. Very good point. Yes, thank you. Good. Okay. I want to stop it here. It's almost 3 o'clock.